Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Keisha Blair, wife, mother of three, author of Holistic Wealth, and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. The show will showcase various experts in the key pillars of holistic wealth. Each week, we deliver the best information on how to become holistically wealthy and live your best life.
Today, we have a very, very special guest with us. We have Vanessa Cox, and Vanessa is the CEO and editor-in-chief of Bella Magazine. She's an author of Five Steps to Fabulous, co-founder of ETT Women and the ETT Women Foundation. Vanessa, it's so great to have you here. I'm excited to be doing this interview, and you know, I've been following along on social media and the exciting work coming out from Bella Magazine. It's just awesome. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you.
And so Vanessa, I just wanted to start with your journey, because your role and position at Bella Magazine is historic, and in the industry at large, you know, in terms of being one of the very few Latina women to head a magazine that's international. And so I know you worked at Bella Magazine before, and then you acquired it, which is awesome. Can you tell us a bit more about that journey and the story of how you actually acquired it, which is amazing?
So, I mean, backtrack to age 13 is a vision of me writing for a New York City magazine. I always, and this is me living back in the Dominican Republic in the middle of high school, just talking with my best friend about our future. You know, she said she would want to be a lawyer. And I knew in my gut that the first thing I said, well, I'm not going to be living here. I'm definitely going to be living in New York, and I'm going to be writing. Writing has just been something that I've done for pretty much a better part of my life. I actually used to be an elementary school language arts teacher, literature teacher in high school, and ESL teacher for both adults and children. So writing has just been in my DNA, I could say. Both of my parents were professors in college and teachers as well. So the writing world, I definitely had a knack for it. When I moved to the States and married, you know, my husband and had my first son, I went through a period of postpartum depression, and I launched a business that was a custom-made jewelry business. And through that jewelry business is how I connected to the previous owners of Bella Magazine. And I just began to contribute a column called The Beauty of Giving Back. I was very much connected to giving back to my community. It's just kind of how I've always lived my life. So it was kind of like my foot in to officially contributing to the print issue. Simultaneously with my jewelry business, I had launched my blog at the time. And once I contributed to several issues, I was named the online marketing director for the publication. So every website except the first one, I'm the one who actually created them from scratch. So that's how I got my start in the publication. But with that came all of the other roles that I also helped and assisted with. And I'm on year three. So almost 3 years ago, when they decided to sell, it was a knee-jerk reaction. It wasn't even something that I saw in the cards for myself, like definitely writing for it, not so much owning it. However, I knew that media, the landscape of media was changing, and that there was a lot that I could bring to the table, not just from my own perspective, but from the community that I had built around me of just very strong, powerful women who all have a story to tell. I think we all have a story to tell. And I have always been very community driven, very much a team player. And I felt that the platform couldn't just go away. It just needed to evolve. It needed to be more diverse. It needed to be more inclusive and show just a range of different perspectives of life. You know, I think every publication is in its own lane. It has its own demographic. I feel like what you see out of coming from Bella, especially over the past 2 years, is more of what the world actually looks like. So, you know, we've featured our first Asian American cover, which had never been done. And I'm very proud of the fact that we did that, and we can, you know, and the reality is, you know, we know that both of those words, diversity and inclusion, have become a very trending topic and part of like the trending conversation to have. The reality is that if you look at my team members, it is a reflection of the work that we do. It's not just about talking the talk. It's also about walking the walk. So, you know, the goal is to continue to give women and men resources to live their most Bella life, you know, that they feel connected to articles, resources, experts that they can actually go to if they're in XYZ state, or they can actually shop this article or this brand online and it will help enhance their lives in a more meaningful and powerful way. So in a gist, that's the journey. And, you know, the past year and a half has been really, really challenging, as it has been for everyone. But this particular industry has been very hard hit because we're not an essential necessity for people. You know, reading a lifestyle publication is not necessary for you to live. However, what we have found that we've been able to engage with our readers in a way where we're trying to, I don't want to say like sugarcoat the realities that we're living, but giving them options to engage and entertain and actually pursue healthier habits, you know, more meaningful experiences with their own families. You know, we've been encouraging people to take vacations in a different way, whether it's to road trip or have staycations. We've been offering them recipes that they can do right at home, because we're, you know, where are we really going right now? And it's become a go-to source for those kinds of things that genuinely do affect the way that we live.
Absolutely. And that's so important, especially during this time. And I know that I've been looking on and I've felt like the publication has become so practical. And as you said, so diverse, because I look at the cover stories and the photos and they're men and women who I can identify with, who I can see myself having lunch with, probably. You know, it just seems very accessible. So I think you've made it very accessible. The look and feel is great. And I've admired that. You know, we both share immigrant roots. You know, you are the Dominican Republic, me with Jamaican. So I also admire that you've taken this journey and created this brand from it, which is amazing. And so I wanted to ask you, Vanessa, about transitioning from, you know, you mentioned your writing, you know, your role as a writer and how you started and how you love that, to, you know, transitioning to a CEO, which for a lot of us women, you know, we have these insecurities. We have the, you know, sometimes we doubt ourselves. And not only that, sometimes even with the financial aspects, with the finances of managing a business and a publication and even acquiring it, you know, in terms of like, okay, so where do I get the funding from? Where do I get the money? And so I just wanted to hear a bit of how that went for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pretend that this has been easy. We do an incredible job at making it all look flawless. I mean, and that is obviously part of what marketing and branding is about. You know, you put out the best of what you have to offer. However, I've always been very transparent about how this came to be. You know, I am a solo entrepreneur and this has been self-funded from day one. Some days, especially over the last year and a half, I've said, yeah, don't buy the extra stack of paper, right? Because that's where we are. You know, we have to first pay our electric bill here, yeah, here and there. But I attest our survival, if I may just say that word, to my faith and the faith that my team has in everything that we do. I have an incredible, incredible staff. They are just incredibly passionate about what they do, each in their own space. And then when all of that comes together, we have been able to create what I like to call like the Bella effect, because this isn't a solo project. This is not about me. It has never been about me. I've always said, you know, even the cover stars, I literally just said this morning in a meeting that I was having with my team members here, don't think I'm crazy, because I have walked in here and said, so I had a dream last night and this is what we're going to do. So I flow from that space. I allow my higher power to guide everything that I do. And I have no shame in claiming that, because this has literally been my saving grace. And, you know, financially, things have been difficult. I have to say, I have an incredibly supportive spouse that when I've had to dip into personal funds. You know, he has been there and has been able to finance. However, I've always made it a point to pay that back, because business and personal has to always stay separate.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm proudest of, especially over the past year and a half, is that, you know, I haven't had to let anyone go. And which again is just a testament to the importance of what we're doing, because if people didn't value it and they didn't see it as something that they wanted, we would have been out of business literally 2 weeks after the pandemic. And the finances, I always say, you find a way. Mm-hmm. We always find a way. We always find a way to, you know, make our cash flow. I have to say that during the pandemic, what saved this company literally was the launch of our apparel line. I had been talking about, you know, making t-shirts and mugs for a long time, and who knew that people wanted a Bella t-shirt so much? And that was literally for the first 3 months of the pandemic. The orders just started to come in and come in and come in. And I would literally sit in tears at home because I couldn't believe that, okay, we have money to pay our rent. Okay, we have money to pay my team. I have money to go to print. I have money, you know, and it was all due to apparel sales. That's a blessing all on its own. And then, you know, we've been able to, especially in the beginning of this year, just create some really great brand partnerships that have been also very supportive of what we're doing. And to your point, though, you know, there will always be a lack of finances, especially in the beginning stages. If I go back and tell you that when I launched my first business, I got a part-time job to be able to fund what was my dream, right? And again, no shame in that either. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who was, it's called a JOB. You get a job, you do what you have to. Yes. But the reality is if you believe in your calling, if you believe in your mission and what it is that is your passion, you are going to always find a way. Because for me personally, there is no other alternative. Mm-hmm. This is it for me. This is what I have worked and dreamed about and prayed for. And, you know, and wanted my entire life. And now that it's happening, there is no alternative but to make it work. And that attitude really does trickle through my entire team. So they work from that same space. Like there is no, we are not going down without a fight. And that's ultimately, you know, what it is about. Because here's the thing, if it was easy, uh-huh, everybody would be doing it. And I know that, you know, as entrepreneurs, we hear that a lot, you know. There are statistics that even say, you know, especially women-owned businesses, between the second year in business, they just shut down and they fail because they give up.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, I'm not here to paint you a beautiful story of what entrepreneurship looks like, because it's not. It is messy. It is gut-wrenching. However, it is incredibly fulfilling. Because just like I said to someone yesterday, I said, I value the freedom that entrepreneurship gives me, because I'm able to go home later and be home with my children. And I know that not a lot of people can say that. So you have to, you know, it looks like work and it works and it wears overalls. So you have to be willing to put it in so that you can reap the benefits. And the benefits are that I get to be home when I have to be, when I need to be, you know, when my children call on me, I'll say, okay, girls, I'm out. Got to go home for XYZ. And that's really ultimate, but it's taken a lot of work and it's still a lot of work. I'm here in my office every day, chugging along. Don't get confused by what you see on social media where people are on boats and yachts. And I mean, awesome. That's the lifestyle that they've chosen. But all of that comes at a cost. It isn't just given to you. And, you know, it's really been a lot of work. A lot of work.
Yes, absolutely. And it's so true. And, you know, I don't have anywhere near your experience when it comes on to that aspect, but just from even publishing a book and from that aspect, like it's a ton of work. So I can't even imagine, you know, what running a publication is like. And so, Vanessa, I'm wondering for, you know, women listening in, what advice you would have for them in terms of, because, you know, you mentioned starting up. And mm-hmm. you mentioned the financial aspect of it, which is always so critical. And I feel like for many women, it's like that barrier, you know, that, you know, we erect those barriers. Yes, sometimes in our minds, but it really is in terms of getting the financing off the ground And we've had so many entrepreneurs on this podcast who now have successful businesses, but basically said, you know, we didn't even have a boot to strap. Like, even from bootstrapping, like, it was just like nothing.
No, there. It was,
I was wondering what advice you'd have for women in terms of starting, in terms of finances, and especially in this climate where it's so difficult, like it's so tough.
So the one thing I will say is that has worked out. I mean, it has worked out for me in the beginning. And even to this day, when we have had financial challenges right now, is I don't believe in barter if it's just for the sake of a barter. Like, the expectations sometimes are very short-listed, and there comes a time when if you're bartering and you don't give in value what is in turn given to you, then there is resentment, and then that creates animosity between that relationship, and that it's not something that. So what I like to do is exceed expectations so that there is never left, of course, within reason and within what you're able to do. But that's how I started. I would, I remember setting up, even when I had my jewelry business, I was setting up at a doctor's office, and they were allowing me to come in on a weekly, and I was making like $2,000 almost every week. It was a very high-end dermatology office. They would allow me to come in between 9 o'clock and 3, and I would just set up shop. And all of these women, as they were waiting for the doctor, the doctor would allow me to sell in her space. And in exchange, I would give her whatever piece of jewelry she wanted, because I didn't have the money, because I was still funding as much money as I was still making. I was still funding my business, buying materials, building my website, doing all of these other things, paying the babysitter, right? Because at the same time, those are all part of your expenses. But I would let her, so she didn't feel like, and I would tell her, I said, you know, for being here, I don't know, a vendor cost would be $500. It's just but what I have given you in jewelry is actually $1,500. So, and I would just do that on a monthly basis. I would do that exchange. And when things ended and, you know, we parted ways, there was no ill feelings or ill regards, because we both felt that we got what we needed and wanted out of that relationship. So if it's to build a website, to even finances, look for ways that you can collaborate with that other service provider. And honestly, you know, buckle up. And I've used credit cards. I've used, you know, I've borrowed money from family and friends and given it right back. I've used my own personal savings that I had, like my own little personal stash for that big rainy day. I've seen that all be depleted. But thankfully, you know, you organize yourself. Because again, for me, there is no other alternative than what I'm doing. It had to make money. It had to be financially viable so that I could also pay myself back. Because that's another thing that entrepreneurs don't do. They don't pay themselves first, and they don't ever pay themselves back when they do, you know, dip into personal funds or whatever. And that's a huge mistake. You should definitely get in line with that, get organized. I can't even say right now, yes, there's a lot of small business loans, but depending on the amount of time that you've been in business for yourself, you know, small business owners, especially women, have a very hard time finding funding. But you can really connect with somebody who's in your industry. There's a lot of angel investors. You can find them on LinkedIn. There's a ton of groups on Facebook that also you can find support. You know, I know of people who have gotten grants. I know of people who have just found someone that they've connected with, you know, over a period of time, and say, this person believed in me so much that they wrote me a check, you know, and then you go into a contract that's called an angel investor, and no strings attached sometimes, but sometimes the turnaround is, you know, some sort of interest, and that's fair. If I'm giving you X amount of money, then I'll pay it back with, you know, X amount of interest. But yeah, you just have to get creative in the ways that you find your funding, because it is possible. That's all I can tell you. It is possible. I started my business with a very small inheritance that my father had left me. And look at where we are now.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so, you know, sometimes the risk is definitely, definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Sure. And so, Vanessa, you touched on a topic of motherhood and postpartum depression earlier in the podcast. And I just wanted to, you know, ask you about that and how you've been building your business and also, you know, being a mother. And you know, with COVID-19, so many people are going through depression, loneliness, anxiety. And with the things happening in the world now, with Afghanistan, like there's so much happening in the world. Yeah. There's natural disasters, there's racial tension, there's our health with this pandemic. Any advice, any tips on how you cope? Like, I remember, and I talked about this in my book, Holistic Wealth, too, after my husband died. I had given birth just eight weeks prior. And it was just unbelievable as a mother what I had to cope with then, you know, and I talk about that a lot. So I know for mothers, you know, it's been hard, this pandemic. And I think 4 million women have left the workforce because they're dealing with motherhood, trying to juggle jobs and handle everything, which is difficult. So just wanted to hear your journey, how you overcame that and, you know, like, tips and advice, any words of wisdom there?
Thank you for allowing me a moment to speak about this, because it's very important. It's actually part of my own personal brand and journey. I talk about it as often as I possibly can, because I'm here to show people that you can overcome it and you can manage it and you can continue to live a happy life, regardless of, you know, whatever mental health aspect you may be, you know, plowing through. I've struggled with depression from the age of 13. So it wasn't anything new to me after I had, and what, you know, what I always make a point to clarify is, you know, unfortunately for some women, they take it out on the children. Mm-hmm. For me, it was about my own self-preservation and thinking that if I was good enough to keep this baby alive, I would wake up in hysteria, checking to see if he was breathing. I would actually fall asleep with my son on my chest just to make sure that I was keeping him alive. I had this, like, I would have panic attacks about keeping him alive. That was like my biggest thing. Oh my God, he's going to die in my hands. And I'm not good enough to take care of this human. So that was corroding everything that I could potentially even foresee as, you know, wins, because although I had managed to create this false world in my head, right, that I was this horrible mother, that I was going to not feed my child enough and he was not going to grow up healthy, et cetera, I still managed to keep this persona until my husband would come home from work, because I was smart enough to not make him think that I was incapable of because I was ashamed and I was embarrassed. You know, I was like, oh my God, I'm a grown woman. Like, what am I doing? I got to keep it together. And it was literally one day that I just walked into my local church. I lived in Staten Island at the time. And I was walking in to get just information about baptizing him and whatnot. And I looked to my left and I see moms carrying their babies in this room. And I'm like, what's going on in there? And I started to just ask questions. And they said, well, this is a support group for new moms and you can come and just talk to other moms and we will watch your baby while you're having, you know, adult conversation with these other women here. And I just broke down at the church office and I said, oh my God, this is like an answered prayer. So I started to go to that group on a weekly basis. My son at the time was like 11 months old, because another part of the hysteria was like, nobody could take better care of this kid than I could, right? This grandiose, you know, superwoman persona that we think that we can tackle all things and do all things. And honestly, going through the meetings and then eventually opening up to my husband about it and talking to him about it, he's like, I knew something was wrong. I just didn't know what exactly was growing. I thought it was me, because he was the one, you know, making me upset.
Right.
And again, you know, it was all in my head. And depression is something that lives in your own head, but the way you get yourself out of it is by talking about it. Anyone who knows me will tell you that I'm a talker, that I need to talk things out. I need to sit out and hash out a problem, because that's my own form of decompressing and regulating myself mentally so that I'm able to handle any given situation. And, you know, coincidentally, you know, you talk about the pandemic and what people have been coping with and all of this. I remember right at the beginning, we were doing podcasts about mental health and how women were feeling isolated. I remember comparing it specifically to that moment. And I said, now people will know how new mothers feel when they are isolated and home alone with a child, because this is exactly what we are all living, and we're living it collectively. So now no one can say that we are crazy, right? Because it's not in our head. This is something that we all feel in a different way, but it's the same. It's isolation is real. And the feeling of isolation, because we were living it.
Yes.
So I remember just pointing that out and having so many people reach out to me privately and say, oh my God, you hit the nail on the head. And I said, because the thing is, there's this shame that is carried, around mental health and anxiety and depression, mm-hmm. and any of these other forms. And the reality is that we all have some sort of it, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. We all do. Mm-hmm. We just handle it in different ways. For me, what has worked has been meditation, exercising, yoga. There is not a morning that if I don't do yoga, my day doesn't go south. And, you know, my husband by now knows, he's like, well, you didn't do your yoga this morning. So I understand what's going on. And it's just something that I need to do. Physical movement is a part of my mental well-being, whether it's going out for a walk, whether it's riding on my Peloton, whatever that may look like for you. And it's scientifically proven, like I'm not making this up. Exercise is actual medicine for your body and your mind. The benefits of that is that you maintain a healthy body weight if you're doing it regularly, but the mental benefits outweigh the physical benefits. So it's something that you should definitely try to incorporate at least 3 to 4 times a week, is just to move any which way. I've pursued, you know, things that I've wanted to do. I take ballet lessons once a month where I go, and it's kind of like re-engaging with my inner child. Just find different creative ways to do so. I'm going to start playing tennis in a few weeks, as if I had time to do anything more. But the reality is that you have to find ways to continue to move, to continue to make yourself well and whole. Because if you are depleted and run down, you can't serve anyone. So, you know, when my kids come and I'm exhausted and tired, or my husband is demanding my attention and time, if I'm a hot mess, I have nothing to give them. So I have to take care of myself, and I do it in ways that, benefit me, not just physically, but also specifically more mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just reminding me of the whole concept of holistic wealth. I remember when, you know, they wanted me to write the book, and they wanted it to be just a money book. And I said, no, like I could never just write about that aspect.
Your finances do affect your psychological and emotional well-being. If you're not,
exactly.
If you're worried about bills, then that carries over into other aspects of your life. 100%. Yeah,
exactly. And you also mentioned the spiritual aspect in the beginning of our podcast too, which is another important aspect of this too. And, you know, I've gained a lot of inspiration and motivation just following along with you on Instagram when you talk about that, because I nod along and I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Because I tend to be a very spiritual person too. So that's the other aspect too, that I was just like, well, no, I know what got me through those hard times. And it was all of that combined. You know, it was the spiritual and the mental and the exercise that you mentioned, all of that. And, you know, for us mothers too,
yeah,
that's been an important aspect that saved a lot of us, as you mentioned, with the loneliness and the isolation, yeah, and all of that. So Vanessa, is there, in terms of the future for Bella Magazine and like big plans that you may have, anything on the horizon, any, you know, big visions and goals that you have?
Sure. Last year I wanted to launch Bella Latina Mag, which is the Spanish version of Bella Magazine. And that's officially back on the calendar, and hopefully will happen in 2022. So right now the big focus is just to hopefully, as the world continues to reopen and we are able to get back to life as safely as possible, we get the ship back on track so that I can focus on launching Bella Latina in the next year. So that's really the gist of it. You know, I think that we have all been pretty much hit with survival mode, but now I can see a little bit more of, light at the end of the tunnel and pursue the plans that we were trying to pursue pre-pandemic. So I'm very fortunate. Again, I always acknowledge and recognize, you know, the hard work behind me, which is, you know, my team and the incredible amount of people that I have just supporting what it is that we're doing. And I am always heartened when people come at us with, you know, incredible feedback and that they've heard. I was just sitting at my son's karate class 2 weeks ago, and the woman next to me just asked me, well, what do you do? And I said, oh, you know, I don't like to say that. I think that was me trying to not be boastful, because I feel like sometimes that sounds come off the wrong way, especially when I'm talking to like a stay-at-home mom. It feels kind of a little bit, but I just said, I just read for a magazine, Bella magazine. And she was like, oh my God, I love that magazine. And then when she said it, well, I'm like, okay, I actually own it. So, and then she's like, oh my God, I follow you on Instagram and I do this. And it was just really fabulous to just sit there and listen to the feedback of, you know, someone who does follow us and has engaged with us via social media. So when you get to put names to faces and then again, feel connected to a brand that is doing exactly what it's supposed to do, right? Making people feel connected to it is you're humanizing your company. That felt really good. And, you know, we even made like lunch plans just to talk a little bit more about how we can work together, because she has a really cool sense of style. And I said to her, oh my God, we have to just, you know, connect and find a way to collaborate. Maybe it's like a street style version of what it is that you do. But that felt really good. And sometimes because I'm so invested in all of this, I forget to look up and smell the smaller roses, because that is what keeps us in business. And I'm super grateful and beyond proud of what we've created thus far.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such a lovely story too, with that stay-at-home mom. So that's great. And so Vanessa, can you tell our audience where to find you on social media? Because again, you are inspiring, and your social media accounts, you know, are inspiring on a day-to-day basis. So I'd love for listeners to be able to follow along.
Thank you. And I will say I am very direct. I have no shame in putting thought-provoking content out there, because I feel like that is something that I personally am supposed to be doing. Through Bella, obviously, we're a little bit more kosher and more Switzerland, in the sense that, you know, we cater to everyone. On my personal page, if you don't mind me dropping the F-bomb here and there, you can find me at Vanessa Kappas. And that's the same across all social channels. And obviously through Bella, bellamag.co. That's the same handle also for as our website. So, and all of our social handles as well. But, you know, again, sometimes we need to hear some hard truths. And I know that I particularly appreciate it when I have friends who call me out on my own BS, and they'll private message me and I say, I saw you shared this, but X, Y, Z. And I'm like, you know what? Lesson learned. And I'll go back and I'll address it. And because ultimately I think that, you know, if we lived truly a life of service, that's what that looks like. We're here to enhance each other's lives and make each other's lives easier. We're not here to give people a hard time. And I genuinely don't think that people set out with that intention. You know, I try to be as little ego driven as possible. It trickles this ugly head up there sometimes. But I start off, my first starting point is, you know, what God used me. How can this be of service? How can this enhance someone's lives? How can this make something better? But then, and you know, and let everybody make their own conclusions based on that. But I appreciate the time that you've given me to share a little bit more about what it is that I do. I can't not say, I mean, I'm having a ton of fun, as hard as it's been on some occasions. This is truly, I can't even call it work. Sometimes my husband calls it my hangout. I'm like, sure, that pays bills, but okay. But I would hope that everyone can find that for themselves. It's a professional, you know, a career, whether it's a career or your own business that you feel so impassioned about that it literally is fun. And it doesn't feel like you have to make any effort to go to it every day, because that's what this has become for me.
Awesome. And I think for so many people listening in, that's exactly what they want for themselves and their lives. And I love the line, that you used about, you know, God work through me and, you know, help me to inspire others and to help lift up humanity, because that's kind of, you know, our goal here on the podcast too. So I think those are amazing words to end on. And, you know, thank you so much for sharing your time with us, Vanessa.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted this for some time too. And when I saw that picture you posted on Instagram with, I think it's your niece, and you mentioned that, you know, she's inspiring the thoughts in you of a future, you know, publication in terms of themes around diversity. I thought this is amazing. Yeah. And I just had to reach out. So thank you.
Oh, Brace for Impact. It's coming in October. So it's going to be amazing.
I'm looking out for that, and we'll for sure help to promote that. And
awesome. Again, I appreciate
it. It was amazing having you here.
Thank you. I really appreciate the time, and likewise as well. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this week on Holistic Wealth with Keisha Blair. Make sure to visit our website, KeishaBlair.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS, so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Are you a member of the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth.com/memberships to choose your membership plan and join. As a member, you get so many perks. Free worksheets, advice, coaching, and a member's workshop to design an intentionally designed life. You need to figure out your life purpose? Take the Build Your Life Purpose Portfolio online self-paced course. You're struggling with all your money decisions? Take the free financial identities quiz and then take the course. You recently had a breakup, job loss, or experienced the death of a loved one? Take the holistic healing course. You need an overall plan to achieve holistic wealth? We will help you figure out your holistic wealth blueprint. And of course, if you want to start making money by helping others achieve holistic wealth, become a certified holistic wealth consultant. Regardless of what career you've got, the Institute will show you how to increase your income and walk in your purpose. The sooner you join, the sooner you start to achieve a more holistically wealthy lifestyle. And you're going to want to stay for a very long time. So go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth.com/memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning, best-selling Holistic Wealth 32 Life Lessons to help you find purpose, prosperity, and happiness.